You know, the funny thing about most of our products that we design or operate in our factories is that people are involved. And depending on how the system is designed, it may or may not be easy to use or maintain because the designer didn't keep in mind that there was a person involved. And the other part of human factors is that some products and systems operate intuitively by touch or by convention, and those are also part of the human factors elements. One of the main considerations for human factors is to make sure that the product itself is, by its design, easy to use. And I always think of it, the Apple products where it's just intuitive. It should just work, and it should be obvious how it works. Well, that may or may not always be true. I've known plenty of products that from Apple and from other places that were, now, how does this work? What's going on here? Yet, if you have a camera or if you're walking down the street and somebody says, hey, could you take our picture? It is generally pretty obvious which button to push. Now, your camera may have just one button, or it may have dozens of buttons on the body of the camera. But generally, the trigger button to release the shutter is usually very obvious. That's a human factors consideration. That's one of the ways that the design team can make the product less likely to fail due to difficulty of use. I remember years ago that when I was at Hewlett Packard, Carly Fiorina became the CEO, and she was making a tour of the different products and product lines and becoming familiar with all of the different systems. And one of her comments during one of the company-wide meetings was, why are the power switches in different places on every product? So different versions of laptops would hit. Some have the power switch in the front, on the top, front on the bottom back, on the bottom on the top, and on the back panel on the top or in the middle. Some even had it on the side. And that's just desktop computers. But it went on and on like that, where there was very little consistency across the design, so that if you're familiar with one component, one product from Hewlett Packard, it didn't necessarily mean you were familiar with others. And it was simple things like that that made products easier to use when they're consistent. Now, some of the other elements that come into play with human factors is things like safety. The easiest example here is just the weight of a product. Is it sufficient? I'm trying to remember what the standard is for a one person lift, but it's, I think, around 40 pounds, somewhere in there, that it's safe for an individual to lift and manipulate the product. And I may have that too high. But it's considering when it's in shipping containers or in boxed up configurations, does it have handles or not, what size it is. There's a lot more that goes into it, is what's the safe lifting or carrying weight. But it's not just carrying weight and back safety. It's also, well, what's the lighting or how loud is it? Or is it going to cause harm acutely, immediately, or is over time? And does that make sense to have that for this particular product? So the ideas of putting guards on systems, and I know that there's table saws for woodworkers, generally come with a guard that goes over the blade. And as wood comes into contact with the blade, the guard rides up on top of the wood. So it moves out of the way just enough, but provides protection from a hand hitting the saw blade. Now, in some cases, people remove those because the nature of that guard causes binding or is difficult to see what the cut is, or it interferes with the presentation of the wood to the blade. So the human factors elements is, well, what's the purpose? What are we trying to do with this product? What's its function? And then does the design and the safeguards of in the system for hazardous parts of it still allow the function to work? And Those are all bits and pieces of this, is how do people interact with your product? Another way this is thought of is that, is where's the on-off button versus the reset button versus the execute this command button. If you look at your keyboard of your computer, the escape button is a long ways away from the return button. And in most applications, they have opposite type of activities. Escape means quit what I'm doing and return to where I was. Like in this PowerPoint presentation, if I hit escape, it'll exit the presentation mode. Whereas if I hit return, it'll move on to the next slide. But they're located quite a ways apart. Same with the delete key. We generally want to put things that would inadvertently cause the opposite response to make those things obvious or very difficult to accidentally hit the wrong button. So elements of safe operating conditions, of how it's manufactured and put together and completed such that as people interact with the product, it's stable, it feels right, it works as expected, are parts of that. One of the design elements in human factors is in a button, like those power switch buttons. Sometimes they click, and sometimes they're very, very quiet. So I have a small portable stereo system, an iPod dock, basically, that the volume buttons are silent, and there's no mechanical motion with them. You basically touch the increased volume, and the volume will slowly go up. And if you touch the other button, it would slowly go down. But it gives no tactile feedback that you've actually pressed the button. So unless the sound moves enough that you can hear it, you don't know if you're changing the volume or not. So some buttons will give you a bounce, or it presses and then it responds back and pushes your finger away. Others will change positions. Others will change color, changing a light, for example, on an LED light. But those are all indicators that come back to the person for the design. Knobs is another one that has specific design considerations for how people use it. Is this knob a push-pull or is it a twist? So the texturing on the knob itself can help you indicate which way this device works. So those are elements of the workmanship or the finish or the design that go into parts of human factors. Now, of course, you're going to hear about my old car in high school on this one, because just to change the oil, it usually involved the sacrifice of some of my skin on my knuckles, because to get the oil filter off involved usually banging my knuckles into the many other components that were immediately around the oil filter. So to get a grip on the filter and to twist it out of, unscrew it basically, there just wasn't enough clearance. And I don't have big hands. And I also didn't, apparently I needed a special tool to actually make it work. But maintainability is not just access. It's also how do I know I've actually done the repair correctly? And what are the indicators that this connector, for example, is seated completely? Did it snap into place? Could I hear the snap? Can I see the alignment? Can I feel it seat into place? All of those kinds of things go into play into helping whether you're operating the system or maintaining the system know that it's working. Now, some things machines do better. You've probably seen advertisements or YouTube clips of welding robots on automobiles. And so the frame is coming down a conveyor belt, and these robots swing into place exceedingly fast and do spot welding and different types of welding and help assemble the frame in a very repetitive and very consistent manner. And people can do welding, but we're just not as consistent and as fast as a machine. So some things people are better at, and some things machines are better at. And I've left a little bit of space here, so why don't you jot down two or three things that people are better at, and two, three things that machines are better at. Then on the next slide, we'll compare notes. All right. Let's see what you got. Here's what I jotted down quickly and found a few references for. Machines are better at those precise and repetitive motion type ideas or topics. And they're very good at saying, the bolt is already there, I don't need to put another one in, because they can sense the presence of something very precisely. And they're also very, very quick. Whereas humans are better at that inductive reasoning part. What's the pattern here? What's the procedure? What's the appropriate next step in a complex procedure? And also dealing with the unexpected. Instead of a bolt being present or not, maybe it's a flange that fell into that location, and then being able to detect that and deal with it appropriately. So more and more robots and automated systems are coming online all the time, yet man still has a pretty significant role in keeping our products and both the design and the manufacture of them in place. All right, so Human Factors has a few design principles that also help us to get the reliability right. The idea of standardization is what Carly was talking about with where's the power button. Is just make it consistent. And that helps us in things that are not critical to our system, but if I just need to turn the thing on, I know where to find the power button. That's the idea of standardization. If you're going to have an array of knobs or buttons across the control panel, is there a need to make some significantly different than others or for some purpose, or should they all be the same and make them easy to use? But the idea of increasing temperature, say, across five different zones, maybe those all should be clockwise rotations of a dial. If you some clockwise, some counterclockwise, the chance of a person inadvertently increasing when they meant to decrease the temperature is very likely to occur. Things like simplification. I've heard it said that you need to make it as simple as you can, but not too simple. And whether it's, can I automate this sequence or can I make this something a robot can do is part of it, but also can I automate, does a person need to be involved is kind of the basic idea there. And the last one is sensory amplification. It's back to those switches and buttons. Is how do I know it's done? How do I tell? Did it snap? Did it click? Did it change color? Those kinds of things. So human factors is a massive topic, and it goes from everything from control panels at nuclear power plants to help the operators understand and correctly diagnose a problem that's occurring so they can make the right decisions. That's part of human factors. To what's the nature of the button, and where's the location of my power switch, for example, and how does that work? But it's more than just does the switch go the right direction or the knob turn the right way. It's does the knob itself communicate that it's meant to be turned clockwise to do a particular part. So human factors is basically anything that interacts with the person trying to use or maintain the product. And it's allowing them to make the right decisions, and more importantly, to know that they made the right decision as they're working with your particular product. In the next section, we'll take a look at design for X. So it's not just design for reliability. There's lots of other things that we need to consider.